Psalm 37 for the Sunday school hour. And try to bring an encouraging Sunday school lesson. I'm learning. I've been saved now for 38 years this month. And I'm learning that if we will trust the Lord and do things His way, that life sure goes a whole lot better. And His way, sometimes it seems like it would be just the opposite. If we do things His way, well, that's never going to work. But God's way is always right. It's always right. And sometimes God's way seems too simple when we look at it and read it. Like, well, I don't know how that could ever help. But that's our God. He made it simple for guys like me that I might be able to do and understand and just trust Him. And I think one of the big areas for just every Christian, to some extent, that sometime in their life is dealing with hurts. Dealing with hurts in your life. This life is, well, it's full of problems, isn't it? And I've heard TV preachers say before, you just need to get saved, all your problems will be over, but that's a lie. That's a big lie. It's a lie. But once we are saved, we have somebody to walk beside us and help us with every problem that we go through. And that's the wonderful thing. But we all deal with hurts at times. And I want to look in the Word of God this morning and talk about that, dealing with hurts in our life. Look at verse number 1 there, Psalm 37. It says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. For they shall soon be cut down like the grass, and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord, and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil." Let's pray and we'll look at this. Father, help us now as we get into your word. Guide us, direct us, use your word to be a comfort to us and to teach us how you would have us to handle things as we go through this life. I thank you, Lord, for the folks that are out for Sunday school, and I pray that you'd make this a prosperous time as only you can. We'll trust you for that, for we ask that in Jesus Christ's name. Amen and amen. Amen. I've been in ministry now. Well, August will be 30 years. And along that way, I've seen a lot of people fall out of serving God and even going to church and such things. There's a lot of Christians that are not serving God today because at one time or another they've been hurt. And then they have allowed the hurt to control or in a lot of instances just to ruin their life. I mean really ruin their life because of those things that happen. The result of not knowing how to deal with hurt or wrongdoings or, well, those types of things have really destroyed a lot of homes and marriages and destroyed a lot of children along the way also. And there's different types of hurts. We know that. There's emotional hurts, there's physical hurts, there's circumstantial, and a lot of others. I mean, they may include things like dealing with people or losing a friend or loved one to death, a lot of husband and wife issues, close relationships, the list goes on. I mean, how many different things could we deal with on this subject? Truly, temptation, sin, broken hearts, wayward children, those that have lost hope, sickness, aging. I mean, when God seems far away, and on and on and on, we could go with that subject. I mean, sometimes just living can be a problem, can't it? I mean, just living, day-to-day living. Hurt needs to be conquered, or it'll conquer you. It'll take you down. It's not good. There's probably people sitting in here right now that have been hurt by other people somewhere along the way. It's very common. And really, here's the thing. When you deal with people, you're going to get hurt. You try to help people, you're going to get hurt. You try to encourage people, I mean, you deal with people, you're going to get hurt. So how do we handle that as Christians? It's important that we know, because so many times it turns to bitterness when it's not dealt with properly. And that has sent a lot of people to a spiritual junkyard. But it doesn't need to happen at all. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15 says this, "Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled." Notice it says a root of bitterness, and thereby, the root of bitterness, and thereby many be defiled. Have you ever picked It's kind of like a dandelion. I mean, if you want to get dandelions out of your yard, pretty much you have to dig them up by the root. Because if you don't get them up by the root, then they'll be there the next morning, won't they? They grow so fast. It's incredible. Have you ever picked one as a kid and blew on it? Watched all the little things float away, all the little seeds float away. Well, when you do that out in your front yard, then many areas are defiled because of the weed that is blown around like that. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31 says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice." We don't like to think of it this way, but bitterness is sin. We're harboring bitterness in our heart. It's sin. And then that that comes after bitterness is anger. And so what comes after anger? Well, wrath. What do you mean, preacher? Well, a strong desire to retaliate. Someone's done you wrong. I'm going to get them back. They deserve it. Come on. Let's be human this morning. In fact, a lot of people are just a fight looking for a place to happen. I mean, it's just, come on. I mean, boy, oh boy. I'm going to give it to somebody somewhere along the way. And I really believe it's because they've been hurt along the way somewhere and have let it get out of control. And they let it get out of control and it established a root in their life, a root in their heart. Have you ever been around someone with an angry spirit? I mean, just angry spirit, just angry about everything. You know, that problem may stem from years ago. Something that happened years ago, even in their childhood. An angry mother or father will raise angry children. And many, many times, angry children will end up estranged from their parents. They don't want anything like that. And the result can be devastating. Hurt people tend to withdraw and not let other people in. They don't want to be hurt again. They want to guard themselves, shield themselves. They don't want any part of that. I mean, somebody might say, I did something for someone and they just turn around and hurt me, and so I'm never going to do that again. And then they go on and they have a pity party. Have you ever been to one? Only one person is invited to a pity party, and that's you. You're the only one invited to that. And people like that have been conquered, sad to say. They need to do something to get themselves out of that place. We're going to get hurt along the way. We've got to decide that we're going to handle it the way that God would handle it so that we can continue to be a help to others. I don't fully understand why God lets us go through everything that we go through. I deal with problems as a pastor, as your pastor does. And sometimes all I can do is just cry with family, with people, or whatever, because of the things they're going through, because I don't understand it either. But I know that if we handle things the way that God would have us to handle things, that we're going to come out the better for it instead of bitter about it. Years ago, in the very first Baptist church that we belonged to, one of the churches your pastor attended, the assistant pastor there told me, he said, look, things that happen to you are either going to make you bitter or better. And you have to decide what you're going to allow it to do. And it really is the truth. It's our decision. I mean, whether it makes us bitter or better, it's our decision about the way we handle it. It's very important we handle things in the right way. There's a biblical cycle that is of the flesh, and it happens to those that will allow it to happen. It is the fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil cycle we read here. If we're not on guard, it can happen very quickly. Really can happen very quickly. And it starts with fretting. What's that about? Well, it can even be little things. When somebody says or does something to you, you begin to fret over it. I mean, it's on your mind and it just comes back, and it just, and you replay it in your mind, you replay it in your mind, and it just, and then envy. Jealousy. Well, what do you mean by that? Well, it's kind of this thought, I'm as good as they are. Who do they think they are? Treat me like that or say something like that to me. I'm just as good as they are. And then anger. And anger really is just compounded frustration. Where it gets to the place, again, of not I'm as good as they are, but who do they think they are? Treating me like this. And then wrath. That place where we get to where we're looking for a way to retaliate. When we haven't gotten our way, or when somebody's done us wrong, we're looking for a way we can strike back. Make them hurt the way they hurt us. Make them feel the way that they made us feel. And then the end of it is evil. No, what comes out of revenge? I'll tell you what comes out of revenge. Evil. Nothing good will ever come out of revenge. The Bible says, the Lord said, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Vengeance is his. People like to read that like this. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. But that's not what he said. No, he said that he will take care of those things. He will. If we handle things his way. If we handle things his way. Here's what the devil will tell you. That stuff won't work for you. That preacher up there, he don't even know what he's talking about. He don't know how bad you've been hurt. He don't know what they said. He don't know what they did. He don't know what you've been through. That's not going to work for you. Oh, no, that's what the devil will tell you. He'll try to convince you. But God's way is always right. It's always right. It will always work if we handle things his way. The thing about it is it goes against our own humanity. It goes against our flesh. It goes against that old man. If we're saved by the grace of God, it goes against that old nature. Man, we want to retaliate. We want to get back at them. But it's never going to work. We can't let it get us. And this psalm starts out right there at the beginning. Fret not thyself because of evildoers. Fret not because of who? Because of evildoers. Those that have done you wrong. Those that have spoken about you wrong. Those that have wronged you in any way. Don't fret about them. Don't fret about them. Don't do that. Don't let it get to you. Don't let it get to you. I don't know how many times, Brother Steve, I've sat with people in my own office, across my desk, and said, look, you just can't let this get to you. You're dwelling on it way too much. You're fretting about this way too much. God's got an answer for this. You don't have to let that eat you up. You don't have to let that make you just fall into this cycle of worry. I mean, point one of the cycle is fret. And then it goes on in there. It says, and neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity. Envious. So fret, envy. Can you see the progression? I mean, this is a psalm of David. He seemed troubled. He seemed troubled because of the prosperity of the wicked. Have you ever felt that way? No. I mean, troubled because of the prosperity of the wicked. I mean, you look at this world and people are so wicked, and I mean, it just seems like they're living the life of Riley, and they have all the money and they have all the cars and they have all the homes, and man, I mean, they're just living the life and all of that. I'm telling you, no. If we dwell on things like that, it can get to us. But David came to a good conclusion in verse number 2, where it says this, talking about the evildoers and the workers of iniquity, for they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. So he came to this conclusion, the conclusion we need to come to. God is in control. He's in control. I mean, even when the whole world looks like it's out of control, God is in control. He is. I mean, there's going to come a day where he rights all the wrongs. He will do that. There's going to come that time. And we need to trust him. So God tells us to fret not there in verse 1 and to not be envious and to cease from anger, and in verse 8 to forsake wrath and to not do evil. So we have to beware of this cycle. But this cycle usually starts, we're getting back, I say we're going to talk about dealing with hurts in our life. Excuse me. Because this cycle usually starts with hurt. We've been hurt by someone, hurt our feelings, did us wrong, whatever the case may be. It usually starts with hurt. Maybe something small, maybe something large. But if we let the cycle prevail, the hurt will never end. It's like we relive it and we relive it and we relive it and we relive it. And with some people, really sad to say, it goes on for years. And even decades. Okay, fine, Brother Marshall, what are we supposed to do? Well, the answer is here for us in Psalm 37. So let's look at that. Let's let God speak to us here. Look at verse 3. It says right there, trust in the Lord and do good, so shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. So the first thing that we need to do when something like that happens is we need to trust in the Lord. Have you ever prayed a prayer like this? Lord, I don't know why this is happening in my life. And I need your help. Anybody else besides me? I mean, things happen and it's like, Lord, I don't know why this is going on. I don't fully understand this. If I need to learn something, I want to learn it. But I want to handle this the way that you would have me to handle it. I don't know why this has come upon me, but I know that you're there for me. Because until we learn to trust him in that manner, even when the bad things happen, until we learn to trust him in that manner, we'll never be emotionally free. our emotions will control us. Man, it'll wake us up late at night. We'll walk the floor. It'll be like there's a storm going on down here. We can't eat. We can't sleep. We can't think of anything else. We have to trust in the Lord. When you get hurt and then tend to focus on the one that hurt you, it's not going to be good. Because when you get hurt and you tend to focus on them like that, it may seem almost at times that you're in bondage to them. You're in bondage to them. Like you're chained to them. And this could drag on for years and years and years. You never let it go, and it always seems as fresh as if it happened yesterday. And it comes back to you and back to you and back to you, and it's like you relive it over and over and over, and you just can't get past it. So what we need to do as Christians, we need to focus on Him. We have to focus on Him. Come on, we say all the time, you know, God is good. Is that true? Yes. Yes. He's always good. Does He know exactly what we're going through at any given point in our life? Absolutely. He knows it all. He knows. He knows. And He is the one that can give us, if it takes grace, He can give us grace. If it takes strength, He can give us strength. If it takes direction, we've got a book. He can give us direction. I mean, He is there for us. Come on, He's a wonderful, loving, caring, gracious, merciful, long-suffering, forgiving, heavenly Father. That is our God. That's Him. He's there for us in the good times and bad times. So many times it's easy to praise Him when things are going good. It seems harder when things aren't going so good. But He's the same God, and He's worthy of our praise. Even if things have gone bad, even if somebody has done something wrong, He's still the same God and worthy of our praise. It's not Him. No, He doesn't make people do evil things. That's not our God. No, it's you know, we need to focus on Him. Let Him be in control of our life, not the one that hurt us. We can't let them control us. We can't let them be the one that keeps us in a quandary. When we let this cycle of life, this cycle continue in our life, we're saying in essence that we cannot trust God to handle it. Well, you just don't know what happened to me, preacher. Well, let me ask you this. Have you taken this to the Lord and just poured your heart out to Him and asked Him to help you through this? Come on, it's important we talk to Him, right? And do that. Because when we do that like that, then we're showing our trust in Him. We're going to Him because we know there's nobody else to go to about the things like that. I have a Facebook page. Sometimes I try not to get on there real often because it makes me upset to be on there for very long. But you've seen it, and I've seen it, that people get hurt by someone and then they'll retaliate on Facebook. Over and 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 over. I guess hoping it will make them feel better because they're doing that. Can I tell you, it's never going to make them feel better. It's not. It's not the answer whatsoever. Facebook can't handle our problems. There's only one that can, and that's the Lord Himself. We have to trust in Him. We have to let Him do these things. I mean, God can handle it. He can handle it, whatever's going on. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says this, "For we have not a high priest, which cannot be touched with feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted, like as we are, yet without sin." So see, our God, He knows when we hurt. He knows. He knows what we've gone through. And He knows how to handle it. So what we have to do is we have to lift our focus to God. We need to go to Him and pour out our heart to Him. Don't be a people responder. Now, let me encourage you, really. Don't be a people responder. Be a God responder. Be spiritually mature enough to take all your hurts to God. I want to repeat that statement. Be spiritually mature enough to take all your hurts to God. Take them to God. And the quicker that we do that, the quicker that we do that after the hurt, the sooner that we can get to a place where we know that God is working in our life and heart and helping us to go through that. Be a God responder. Come on, don't jump on the phone. Don't start texting somebody when you get hurt and talking about what just happened, whatever. No. First and foremost, go to God. Talk to Him. He's there for you. He's never too busy. I've never gotten a busy signal. He's always there. And He'll help us through those things. Absolutely so. He never makes mistakes. He never makes mistakes. And He can see you through any hurt that you might go through in your life. He's there for us like that, truly. When you hurt, He knows it. And here's the thing. Here's the thing about that. When you hurt, He knows it, and He feels for you because He cares about you more than we even understand how much He cares. He cares about you, truly. No, He cares. And the quicker you understand that, and the quicker you place your trust in Him, the quicker that the pressure will be off of you. Because here's what it says, trust in the Lord and do good. That's what it says. Trust in the Lord and do good. Don't do bad. So give it to Him. And you're going to do well. Well, how come? Because He's going to take care of you. Listen, if you let Him. If you'll let Him take care of you. But you have to let Him. You have to be willing to give it to Him. You have to be willing to trust Him that much. Truly. So we have to trust in the Lord. Then look at verse number 4. It says, delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. So not only trusting the Lord, but delighting in the Lord. The delight in the Lord. What does that mean, preacher? Well, delight means to get emotionally occupied with what God is going to do. With what God is going to do. God's going to see me through this. God's going to give me the grace to make it. God's going to give me strength to handle this the right way. God's going to give me direction, what I should do and what I shouldn't do. The hurt that you have experienced or will experience may be to bring honor and glory to the Lord when you handle it in the right way. You know, there's people out there that don't know the Lord, that know that you know the Lord, and they need to see that in you. He left us here to be an example, to be an encouragement, to shine His light, to show this is the way that Christians should handle this. No, not in a way that we're looking down on anybody. No, I hate that. We don't do that. We don't have no right to look down on anybody. But shine in our life. Would you say that, in your observance, would you say that there have been Christians that you have known, that ended up shedding a bad light? Professing Christians, you know, and all of a sudden it's like, I can't believe they would ever do something like that. Well, that's why it's so important that we draw close to the Lord. That's why it's so important that we're doing things the way that God would have us to do things. Because it's going to bring glory to God. Boy, you see old Joe, boy, he's been through a hard time. Those people really did him bad. Yeah. But man, oh man, can you believe the way he's handling that? I mean, he just seems to just go on with life and says he's praying for those folks and just going on doing the right thing. Come on, that's a good testimony, isn't it? And our testimony is important. It really is important. Come on, for family, friends, for children, for spouses. I mean, it's only right, isn't it? It's going to help. It is going to help. Delight thyself in the Lord. In the Lord. Let Him be the one that gives you the desire of your heart. Catch this, please. Let Him be the one that gives you the desire of your heart. See, a lot of people read that verse and they say, if I delight myself in the Lord, then God's going to give me my heart's desires, like things I want. But that's not the way what the verse is talking about. If we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, He will put the desires in our heart that are the right desires. To want to treat people the way that He says. To want to handle things the way that He says. To do things in this life the way that He says that we should do. The correct desire will be in there. There's desires in there, isn't there? They're in there. So we're not careful. Some of them aren't good, for sure. But, I mean, when we're delighting ourselves in the Lord, when we are emotionally occupied with what God is going to do in our life as we follow Him, He will give us the correct desires of our heart. It may be that the one that hurt you needs God to work in their life. But God's going to have a hard time working if we are in the wrong cycle. You delighting in the Lord may also cause the other person to get the help they need. And if you're fretting, if you're not trusting, And if you're envying, you're not delighting. We have to make sure that we're handling things the way that God would have us to handle things. Well, preacher, that's not always easy. Well, I know. I'm human too. I've made mistakes too. Believe it or not, I've tried to handle things my way before too. But it never works out well. I know. But I'm telling you, the more that we learn to trust Him like this, the more we learn to delight ourselves in Him like this, I mean, the easier it is to get through these things. So, and then the third thing, we're doing good. 10:30, right? We're doing good. Look at verse number 5. It says, commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. So we trust in the Lord and we delight in the Lord, but we also commit our way unto the Lord. Well, what way is that, preacher? Well, think about what we're talking about. So the answer would have to be our way of handling problems. How are we going to handle this? Are we going to handle it like we've always handled it? Are we going to handle it the way the world thinks we should handle it? Or are we going to handle it God's way? I mean, the devil wants to convince us to control our own lives. Just do things the way you feel best. You know what you want in this life. You just go ahead and give it to him, whatever you want to do. No, he wants to convince us just to control our own lives. But that's always brought me trouble too. The Lord said in Matthew 11:28, and I love this portion of Scripture, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh boy, a God that gives us rest. It's a wonderful thing. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. So following Him, when we yoke up with the Lord, if I can say it that way, it's always going to be a better way. I mean, He said it, and it is true. His yoke is easy, and His burden is light. The Bible says that we are to cast all our care upon Him because He cares for us. And I'm telling you, when we get in the habit of doing that rather than the fret, envy, anger cycle, When we're casting all of our care upon Him and trusting Him, His burden is light. He carries the load for us. And that's what he wants to do because he is a loving, caring Heavenly Father. You can handle things your own way, absolutely, but it's going to work out a lot better when you commit the whole issue to the Lord and let Him handle it. Let Him do it the way that He wants to do it. Casting all your care upon Him, for He cares for you. So commit your way unto the Lord and trust Him, and He will bring it to pass. He will bring it to pass. Well, I tell you, but I mean, he's not done anything yet. Well, he's not moving as fast as I want him to. He doesn't work on our timetable. But we know he's working. We know he's working. What doesn't seem like it's bothering those people at all. Look, we have to give this to God completely. Here's what we want to do. Lord, I really need you to handle this in my life. And I'm going to help. That's the way we like to do it. It's like we think God needs help. But until we just give it to Him, take our hands off of it, we're not going to see Him do the things that only He can do. So we commit our ways unto the Lord and trust in Him. The Bible, it's right there in verse number 5, and He shall bring it to pass. And once we have done that, those things, then we need to rest in the Lord. Verse number 7, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Now, fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Rest to the Lord. Rest in the Lord. Now this comes when we finally turn it all over to Him. I mean, when we finally get down and just pour our heart out to God and let Him know, I can't handle this, Lord. And I'm tired of feeling this way here in my heart. And it's about time I let this go and let you handle this. And we give it all to Him. We cast those cares upon Him. And we do that knowing that He is the only one that can make, He is the only one that can do anything about it anyway. Even if we do retaliate on our own, it's not going to turn out well. It won't turn out well. And there are some things that happen in our life that we can't do anything about it anyway, period. Because there are some things that people have held on to for years and years and years and years. And they'll never see that person again, or never be put in that place where they'd have to go through that same thing again or whatever. But they've never let it go. They've never given it to God. And even years later, they continue just to relive it, and it eats them up. And that's just a hard way to live. And we have to decide that we're going to take these steps to give it to God, to cast our care upon Him. We're bad about this. We're bad about casting our care upon Him and then taking it back. We're bad about that. But the key to that is that we have to No matter how many times that we need to do it, we just need to keep casting it back on Him. Continue to put our trust in Him. Asking Him to do what only He can do about the whole matter. Come on. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pasture. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. And he can do that, no matter what we've been through. And I'm not taking away anything from anybody in here that's been through something horrible with somebody or whatever. I'm not trying to act like we just need to get over it. That's not what we're doing here. And that's not what God's doing for us either. Because hurts are real. They're real. But if we just continue to relive it, it just makes life miserable. When we finally commit these things to God, we're going to find it a lot easier to rest in Him. But don't keep picking it back up. We're bad about that, but don't keep picking it back up. Trust Him enough to give it to Him and just leave it with Him. I mean, even if it takes 2 or 3 days, a week or 2 weeks of committing it to Him every day. Lord, I know that you can handle this better than I can handle it. I know that you have the answer for it, and I know that you can right the wrong whenever you decide to do that. But Father, I'm giving this to you because this is too much for me to carry. And I've got a lot of other things I could do in my life if I wasn't so consumed with all of this. Father, I just continue to give it to you because I know that you care about me, you love me, and you don't want me to live like this. Pouring out our heart to God can be more of a help than most people realize today, than most Christians realize today. Just going to Him and just pouring out our heart and trusting in Him to do what only He can do. It's so important. And that we delight in the fact that God is working. And that He will be glorified by us allowing Him to handle that. Well, how do you know God's working? Because He said He would. Has God ever lied to you about anything? He's never lied to me about anything. His promises are sure. His promises are true. If He tells us to do these things, then He's got an answer. Just commit it to Him. And when you're tempted to pick it back up, remember that there will never be any really true rest as long as you continue to try to do the work. There'll never be that true rest. Isn't it good? Those nights that you lay your head down on your pillow and you know things are right between you and God, and I mean, it just seems like He gives you rest. I mean, real rest. Waking up knowing that He's still working in your heart and in your life. That's what He wants for us. No, come on. He wants to be that real to us. That's what He wants. He wants us to understand that He is there all the time, 24/7. Whether we acknowledge Him being there, He's there. And I know this, the more that we acknowledge Him, the more we trust in Him, commit our ways to Him, the more we realize that He's there. And that's what He wants. He wants us to walk by His side day after day after day after day. To get up with Him and go to bed with Him and just be with Him. He wants that. We walk by faith and not by sight. Rest. Don't be fretting because Don't be praying just because it doesn't seem to bother the person that hurt you. Well, they've just gone on with their life and whatever. Right, so why are you carrying this load then? When you could just cast it all on the Lord. Not bothering them. Why let it continue to eat on you? Resting in the Lord. You'll never truly recover until you come to that place of resting in the Lord. And then one more real quick, just a few minutes. Look at verse 7 again. It says, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. So, rest in the Lord, and get this, this is a big part of it, and wait patiently for him. Well, God's not working as fast as I want him to. Wait patiently for him. For him. Because God will work in his time. So wait for him to work. Wait, okay, look at verse number 9. For evildoers shall be cut off, but those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth. Look at verse number 11. But the meek shall inherit the earth and shall delight themselves in the abundance of peace. Did you notice that word meek there? It takes meekness to wait upon the Lord. It takes meekness. Blessed are the meek. It takes meekness. We have this crazy idea that meekness is weakness. Meekness is not weakness. No. A weak person cannot love his enemy. But we are told by the Lord that we're to love our enemy. And we're to pray for those that despitefully use us. That's hard stuff sometimes, isn't it? True, it is. But again, God's way is always the right way. It's always the right way. I mean, this is strength. Patience is the spiritual grace of meekness. God says, give it to me and get out of the way. Be emotionally free and I'm going to deal with this problem. That's our God. I'll handle this. Look down at verse number 23. Hurry up, we gotta quit here. It says, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Look down to verse number 40. And the Lord shall help them and deliver them, and he shall deliver them from the wicked and save them because they trust in him. I love it. I mean, that is God's promise to you and me. And so we have to search our own self. And it's like, am I a people responder or am I a God responder? Is your response that you want to handle it your own way? I'm telling you, it'll never cause the hurt to go away. Are you listening to me? I've got to quit. Your way will never cause the hurt to go away. It just won't. We have to be willing to let God help us out of this fret, envy, anger, wrath, evil cycle. We need to let Him deal with the hurts in our lives. Don't let bitterness trouble you and those around you. Because it will trouble those, thereby many be defiled, it will trouble those around you too. What we need to do is just give it all to Him. And so we trust in the Lord, we delight in the Lord, we commit our way to the Lord, we rest in the Lord, and then we wait patiently for the Lord because He's the one who has all the answers. And He can help us more than anybody else can help us. That's just a fact. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your promises. And I'm not standing up here acting like it's easy. Lord, sometimes these things can be very hard. But help us be more dependent upon you, to trust you more, to delight in you more, to commit our way to you more, that we might rest in you and wait patiently for you to do what only you can do. Thank you for this Sunday school hour we had together around your word. I pray that it will be a fruitful time for us as we apply these things to our own lives. And we'll thank you for what you do in this way, for we're trusting you, and we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.